For the first time since 2014, the New York Yankees are in the good land. Brewers, Yankees, weekend at American Family Field, playoff baseball atmosphere, and also, let's be honest, these games are must win. I don't care how good the other team is. You gotta win 2 out of 3. Let's talk about it next.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, the weekend is here. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Dominic Catronio. This is Locked On Brewers, your only daily podcast. Most Monday through Fridays, I'll explain this crazy week here in a second. Thanks for tuning in. I'm the statistician of Bally Sports Wisconsin, and I'm also the post-game host on WTMJ for Brewers Extra Innings. You can follow me on Twitter at Dom_Catronio. And this week has been chaotic for me, but it's been a weird schedule, so my apologies for that. And it's going to be weird next week, too. But look, we're grinding to the finish. It's dog days right now. There's a lot going on. I'm kind of getting pulled in a lot of directions right now. But we're ready for the Yankees to come in town here starting tonight at 7:10. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered with more odds, props, and lines than ever before. You can check it out at BetOnline, where the game starts. Brewers off yesterday, coming off the split against the Cardinals. I know I didn't have an episode yesterday, but by now, if you haven't seen it, Brewers went 0-9 with runners in scoring position. They had 10 hits. All of them were singles. They lose 4-1 in Wainwright and Molina's 325th start together. Okay? They lost. But they split the series with the Cardinals, which I talked about on the post-game show after the game on Wednesday night, saying, look, if I told you they were going to split with the Cardinals, you just would have thought the order would have been reversed. They would have lost the bullpen game and won the game that Burns started. It didn't work out that way. The Brewers would have loved to go 2-0. Absolutely. The Brewers want to go 19-0 for all I care. But it didn't happen. They didn't lose ground. That's all that really matters in this one. And I waited to record this last night to just make sure that we had a final out in Arizona as the Padres and the Dodgers played ball. And the Padres ended up losing. They got shut out by Arizona 4-0 with the brand new rookie Dre Jameson. So right now, the Brewers, currently as you wake up this morning, are technically a game and a half back, really 2.5 back, as they're playing a 4-game series in Arizona, and the Brewers get ready for 3 with the Yankees. So there's still an opportunity. There was good news despite not playing. And I will repeat it until I'm blue in the face. They do not have the tiebreaker. You need to win outright. But yes, you can be mad about a split, but they didn't lose ground. You can be mad about if they had fallen to 3 games back, if they had been falling to 4 games back. Yeah, that'd be concerning. They didn't lose ground. Now when they were idle, they gained a half game. Awesome. Sign me up. But again, the only record that matters is the one at the end of the year. 19 games to go. I've talked about the win total a lot. We talked about, is 90 wins going to be enough? As it looks right now, I think 90 wins is going to be enough. The catch is getting to 90 wins. The Brewers would need to go 14-5 to get to 90 wins. Not impossible, but very difficult, given you still got these next 6 games against the New York teams and then 2 more against the Cardinals. You'll see 4 games against the vaunted Marlins pitching staff and 3 to end the year with the Diamondbacks pitching staff. So there are some challenges awaiting the Brew Crew down the stretch if they are going to pull off something amazing. And if the playoffs ended today, that third seed, that third wild card, would be going to St. Louis. So think about all the drama of the trade that went down of Josh Hader to the Padres, then the Brewers still knock out the Padres for the postseason, and then have to go to St. Louis for a 3-game series. Whew, that would be pretty spicy. The script would write itself. It would be a lot of fun to watch. I know I said this was a mailbag episode, but I think everyone's kind of fatigued out about the Brewers right now. Weren't many mailbags. We're going to talk about injuries here in just a second. Also going to look around baseball. But for the Brewers to have a successful weekend against the Yankees, they need to win the series. Plain and simple. I don't care how you do it. I don't care if you win 10-0, 10-9, or 1-0. You need to win this series. If you don't win this series, you're required to win a series against the Mets. And quite frankly, the Yankees just haven't been the Yankees. They're playing better as of late. I'll give them that. But the Yankees have not been the Yankees of the first half. And you look at their record. In the second half, they're 5 games under 500. It wasn't sustainable what they were doing in the first half. They have 64 wins in the first half. That's just not going to stick around. But it's also still jarring to see them 5 games under. But there's a catch. They actually still have a positive run differential in the second half. They have a plus 10 run differential. When they beat teams, they beat teams. I mean, I look at the Twins series when they swept them. Do you know the Twins have only won like 2 games at Yankee Stadium since 2017? That's a crazy number to me. But they beat up on the Rays this week. They beat up on Boston this past week. Now they get ready for Milwaukee. And then they go to Pittsburgh, they go to Boston. They have a very coastable schedule once they get past Milwaukee here. They're virtually locked into the second seed for the American League. The Astros continue to run away with it. The Astros are, as I'll talk about them, I don't care. The Astros beat the A's yesterday. The Astros could win 110 games. They're going to come close. They're probably not going to get to 110, but they're going to get darn close. They've been a heck of a team. They've got 94 wins. The Yankees are sitting at 88 wins right now as things, or sorry, 87 wins as things get going tonight. I don't think this series is totally out of the question for the Brewers. Yes, Judge is absolutely tearing it up right now, and quite frankly, I think I'm ready to give my AL MVP vote to him now. I know I talked about Ohtani for a long time, but more on that a little bit later. Yankees are going to be challenged, man. And the Brewers, I think the key of this series are the Brewers not going to be shy in intentionally walking Aaron Judge. He's got 8 intentional walks in his last 18 games. He leads all of baseball in intentional walks. The Brewers, very notably, not an intentional walk type team except for to try to face the pitcher, you know, the non-DH years. Where will Craig Counsell fall? What will the situation call for? Because Judge bats second. So is it going to be if, because Benintendi's hurt right now. So if LeMahieu gets on, does he walk Judge in a tight scenario and roll the dice with Stanton or Glaber? Or does he just always put him on? I wonder how it's going to work out for Aaron Judge and how many pitches he's actually going to get to hit against the Brew Crew. He's got 57 homers right now. The Yankee record, Roger Maris, 61 in 61. Pretty easy to remember. And I've got the book actually right up here somewhere. Anyway, but the Brewers, they're going to have their hands full with the pitching rotation as well. The good news is they're going to see 3 righties. Frankie Montas tonight, Jameson Taillon tomorrow, and then Gerrit Cole on Sunday. The Brewers have Adrian Hauser tonight, Brandon Woodruff tomorrow, and then Jason Alexander on Sunday. What a story it will be, I guess, against the Bronx Bombers and all the home runs that they hit, Aaron Boone coming to town, and nothing left to say. I mean, you know what it is. You know, at this point, 19 games ago, every game matters. Doesn't matter who you're playing. You need to win. Brewers know that. You know that. Couple of quick injury updates. Before we get there, Built Bar, our presenting sponsor. Bet Online, our presenting sponsor. More odds, props, and lines than ever before. Thursday night football last night, that was chaotic. Chargers and Chiefs. It's your number one source for pro and football sports betting needs and information all season long. BetOnline.net. Also, they've got esports, live betting, scores, MMA, boxing, golf, Major League Baseball still going on, of course. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and get in on the action at BetOnline, where the game starts. Injury updates. Last night, Trevor Gott pitched in Nashville. We'll probably get word today on his response, but he pitched well, judging just by the box score in this one against Jacksonville. 1 inning, 3 batters, 1 strikeout. Simple enough. Great to see from Trevor Gott. They certainly could use his help in the bullpen right now. Didn't know if they wanted to go back-to-back with him tonight. Maybe they want to go back-to-back before he returns back to the bullpen for the Brewers. Remains to be seen in that regard, but I'm sure we'll learn more today once we arrive to the ballpark. So that's the first good news as far as the injury report goes. Trevor Gott, it sounds like his return is imminent right now. Also, Matt Busch, remember he was removed from the bullpen game in the first inning on Tuesday, a groin strain. The Brewers feel that he's going to miss the IL. He's going to go day-to-day. He's still active on the roster, so they're going to play a man down right now in the bullpen. But it's a good checkup, according to Craig Counsell. Day-to-day, see what happens for Busch. And with Trevor Gott coming back, it could be a seamless fit. But I remind folks, here at the end of the year, every little nick, every little injury, every little strain is at risk of ending your season. Like, in my opinion, this isn't official yet. In my opinion, Freddy Peralta's season should be over. He was placed on the 15-day IL. They hope he can return by the end of the year, but the fact that there hasn't really been much of an update with his shoulder inflammation tells me, look, there's no plan in the cards for Freddie to rush back right now. And for what the Brewers need is a guy like Aaron Ashby. Ashby's due to throw a bullpen this weekend. He's been on the injured list since August 22nd, so he's going to miss over a month at the end of the day after all this is said and done. But Craig Counsell did reveal this week that Ashby is probably not going to go into the rotation when he does return because they need him back as soon as possible. It means he goes back to that originally intended swingman or one-inning role, takes some of the slack off of Hobie Milner against lefties, which should certainly help for the Brewers down the stretch. So Ashby's going to throw a bullpen session this coming weekend, and what remains to be seen if he's going to have to throw a live bullpen or if he's going to have to go down to AAA. Brewers will have to decide what they want. They think they want to send Ashby down to AAA, but that has not been totally confirmed. As for Eric Lauer, the diagnosis hasn't changed according to Counts, but they are still targeting the minimum for him to return, which would be the Mets series. If not, he could pitch in the Reds series. It sounds like the ramp-up time is not going to take very long for Eric Lauer. He is playing catch. He is throwing flat grounds right now. Also, great news there. Sounds like it's going to be the minimum time on the IL. He's first eligible against the Mets on Wednesday. Might be Cincinnati more realistically for Eric to come back. That's great news there as well. As for the rest of the team, we've talked about Trevor Rosenthal. He's probably done for the year. Jandel Gustave is probably done for the year. Jonathan Davis, he was sent to a minor league rehab assignment, but he has been still on the injured list. If you ask me, this is just me pulling something here. This is just me, my assumption. I think Jonathan Davis is on the injured list to stick around in case something were to happen to a Mitchell or a Taylor so they can call him up and activate him immediately, and then as opposed to having to put in another outfielder. Or you could bring up Este Uriruiz even, too, if you need to as well. We're going to talk about the minor leaguers here in just a little bit, too, but the Brewers, health-wise, position player-wise, too, they're getting a lot better. Urias is feeling better. Wong is feeling better. And for the Brewers, quite frankly, the offense is what is going to hold them back. If the offense can stay healthy down the stretch, they can help pick up their pitching that has picked them up so many times this season. The offense, it's the offense's turn to help out the pitching staff. Because Corbin Burns giving up three runs against a really good Cardinals lineup, another quality start, seven innings strong, tough luck loss, that hurts, man. That really, really hurts. Speaking of minor leaguers, man, what a week it's been for the guys in Nashville. Ruiz had a five stolen base game on Wednesday night. Sal Frelick also hit two home runs in that game. Joey Weimer now has a 20-20-20 season, meaning 20 doubles, 20 homers, 20 stolen bases. Robert Gasser pitched last night, and he pitched well for Nashville. Gasser last night, his line was six innings, five hits, one run, four strikeouts. Also, you've had Jackson Trujillo get promoted to Double A. He's playing with Biloxi now. Things are looking up right now with the minor league system. And I want to get on a soapbox here. It's been a while since I've gotten on a soapbox. I'm standing on a soapbox here, and I know, myself included, a lot of folks thought the Brewers were going to make a move to add a bat at the trade deadline. And don't get me wrong, I know for a fact they tried like heck. They tried like heck. They worked the phones. I know this for a fact. And this is where I think the Brewers find themselves and what went down. The hitter market was so weak this season, right? I mean, especially for what the Brewers need. They needed right-handed power, legitimate right-handed power, right-handed contact. Benintendi is a contact lefty. Mancini would have been a good fit. They got beat to the punch on him. They were never going to get Soto. It sounded like Bell was going to be packaged with Soto all along, so that way they could get more prospects back for whoever that went to, obviously ultimately the Padres. Gallo, left-handed, swing and miss. And then Jock Peterson, left-handed, swing and miss. And that's just the main guys. You knew the Cubs weren't going to trade you Ian Happ or Wilson Contreras. That was never going to happen. So when it comes to the hitter market, when something is scarce, the price goes up. And you got to imagine the phone calls to these various teams were, well, how about Weimer, or how about Trujillo, or how about Frelick, or how about Mitchell, or how about Rui, you know, all these guys that were in the organization already. And the Brewers had to put their foot down at some point saying, do we want to give up potentially someone we see really, really highly? I mean, Mitchell, a first-round pick. Frelick, a first-round pick. Gasser was a first couple of round picks by the Padres, who they got back from Hader. But then you look at Weimer was a first-round pick. They have value in these guys. They believe in these guys. There is equity built in these players, and they're performing. The Brewers felt, you know, that player is good, but we see a future in so-and-so and so. If you think that's a cost-cutting move, that's not entirely true. Yes, it would save money in the long run because they would be on a initial rookie contract, pre-arbitration years, all that stuff. But to have a rental, a short-term player, you look at an injury could happen, you look at anything could happen, and then all of a sudden the guy's gone, and you've given up somebody with out their clock starting yet in Major League Baseball per se, right? These are the things that the front offices have to balance. Like, you know what? They're calling about Joey Weimer. We really like Joey Weimer. Or, oh, they're calling about Bryce Terang. We really like Bryce Terang. So that's the moves that aren't made, especially when it comes to prospects, and if they do start to flourish coming up in the next couple of years, are just as important as the moves you do make, meaning the guys you do acquire and bring in and say, we want you to be our guys, and the guys that you don't deal and say, you know, we're not feeling good about that. Because I think back to some trades just age like milk. I look back to Jose Quintana and the Eloy Jimenez that also brought Dylan Cease to the White Sox too. Think about that, the Cubs-White Sox trade. You also have the trade I've talked about on the show before, the Marcell Ozuna Marlins to the Cardinals trade that included Zach Gallen and Sandy Alcantara and two other big leaguers. Right? There are trades like that you fear, like, trying to go a little too much all in and it not working out. I know that's the last thing Brewers fans want to hear with 19 games to go, but it's truth. Maybe at this time next year when we're watching Sal Frelick and Garrett Mitchell run this outfield with Hunter Renfro or Tyrone Taylor or Yelich, whatever they're going to... Man, there's going to be some speed. There's going to be some athleticism. There will be some tools in this outfield in the future for the Brew Crew. I would get excited about those guys, even if this season hasn't gone according to plan. So I just wanted to get a little soapbox there. I'm going to step down on it now. Let me tell a quick story as we wrap up a short episode to get you ready for your weekend here. By the way, I'm on the post-game show tonight on WTMJ. Obviously, no weekend podcast here for Locked On. Be back on Monday with another pod as well. But a quick story about what this week was like for me. For those who didn't see on Twitter, I was caddying. If you don't know already, another one of my feathers in the cap is I'm a caddy at Erin Hills Golf Course. And this week we hosted what's called the Mid-Amateur event hosted by the USGA. So the Mid-Am is 25 and above amateur players that are the best in the world. It's a national championship. 256 players qualify out of local qualifying to come to Wisconsin. And this it rotates every year. So this year it was at Erin Hills and co-hosted by our friends at Blue Mound Golf and Country Club. Tremendous host site, by the way. More on them in a sec. So it's a big deal. 256, it's a national championship. Big, big deal. I was not planning on caddying this. I was really anticipating taking some time, relaxing. The schedule's been kind of crazy lately. And then my boss says, hey, we just need a few bodies. If anybody can help on Saturday, please do. And I said, well, Sunday looks like rain. Maybe I can help out. I text my boss, say, hey, I can help. I can caddy for somebody on Saturday. He said, sure, cool. Gives me the number. I look it up. His name is James Liao. I'm a Sun Devil, if you didn't already know. I went to Arizona State. So did James. James is a couple years younger than me, and I was just watching him on television a couple of months ago for the NCAAs. So, great. I already have familiarity, and I know this kid's really good. And on the first day of the stroke play portion, there's 2 days of stroke play that leads you into the match play. You got to qualify for it. Top 64, move on to match play. And he shot 5-under at Blue Mound Golf and Country Club. If you know about Blue Mound, if you've been lucky enough to play it, you know 5-under is freaking crazy. He shoots 5-under with 2 bogeys. We go to Erin Hills. We finish top 10 in the stroke play. We're feeling great. We're feeling awesome. We have our first match after all the rain and everything, too. We got washed out on Sunday. Had to play 6 holes Monday night. Come back for the final 12 holes on Tuesday morning. Then play our match that afternoon, Tuesday afternoon. And we won 7-6, meaning we won 7 up with 6 holes to go. and the Brewers were playing the Cardinals that night. I arrived in the second inning to the studio because that day was so long. Did the post-game show that night. That's why they're... And then I rallied for that podcast for Wednesday morning. Wednesday, we didn't have to wake up early. We played a match. We won that match 8-7. Then we went to another Brewer-Cardinal game. Did that game. Didn't do the podcast last night because I was so exhausted. And then woke up first thing yesterday morning, 7:40 a.m. We finally were eliminated in the round of 16. But I just wanted to share my week. It's been really crazy. And I had Brewers Weekly yesterday. Point is, I just wanted to thank everybody who's reached out to me. If you're watching on YouTube, I am wearing the Keep Showing Up hoodie. Jenny Fisher does a great job. Just check out the Keep Showing Up Foundation. Mental health is something very important to me. And this week was trying, was really hard mentally as far as job, never stop working. In fact, my producer said that. I heard you when he said that, Brent, saying like, man, Dom, you just never stop working, huh? Yeah, it was a long week, but we keep showing up, okay? So thank you to everybody who's listened, who's had a kind word. Congratulations, James Liao. Honor working with you, my dude. Great stuff. So enjoy your weekend, everybody. Very grateful to be sitting here talking to you any morning, afternoon, post-game, whatever. Holler at the games, Brewers, Yankees. What more is there to say? Thanks for making it this far. Until next time, keep on swinging and keep showing up.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.